Our next speaker is Shirkalala Cannon from the Department of Bioresource Engineering at McGill University. She is very passionate about bioengineering and technology, and which drove her to pursue graduate studies in the field of bioresource engineering. Her master's thesis was awarded the best graduate thesis by the Canadian Society of Bioengineering. She's a strong believer of translational research, where the benefit of scientific research reaches the society immediately. So in this case, food research is one such field where scientific intervention and advancements have had a huge impact on the quality of life of the people. And I invite Shirkalala to come forward and give her presentation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shirkalala, and today I would like to give you a general overview of the emerging agricultural and environmental challenges in ensuring food security. So as we know, today the world's population has reached 7 billion, out of which 1 billion people are chronically malnourished. And contemporary agriculture faces enormous challenges, as roughly 1 in 8 people go to bed hungry and lack access to food. To meet the world's food security needs, our current agricultural production has to double. And our agricultural systems are degrading land, water, and biodiversity on a global scale to keep pace with our growing population. Looking forward, we face one of the greatest challenges of the 21st century, increasing food availability without placing additional burdens on our environment. The Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations has reported that about 38% of our Earth's terrestrial surface is devoted to agricultural practices. Much of the rest is covered by cities, tundras, ecological reserves, and areas that are unsuitable for agricultural practices. Expansion of agriculture into sensitive ecosystems is estimated to result in a loss of about 5 to 10 million hectares of forest land annually. Agricultural intensification is also increasing at a rapid rate, outstripping the rates of agricultural expansion. And agricultural intensification also results in degradation of water, water resources, and increased use of energy, and also these use of fertilizers has gone up by about 500% in the past 50 years. So the current practices of agriculture are clearly unsustainable because they result in environmental degradation. The expansion of agriculture is taking place mostly in the tropics today, and it is estimated that about 80% of the new croplands would replace forest lands. And we all know that clearing of forest lands is a major contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, both agricultural intensification and agricultural expansion is a major contributor to climate change. Also, the allocation of food crops to non-food uses like animal feed production, bioenergy production, and other industrial products will affect the amount of food that is available to feed the world's population. A major problem in the current agricultural scenario is the presence of yield gaps. Yield gaps could be defined as the difference between the actual yield and the potential yield, and they could be divided into two parts. The first yield gap one exists because of the difference between the environment in the research laboratories and in the actual farms. Yield gap two reflects the biological constraints, the land and soil constraints, and also the socioeconomic constraints. Yield gap two could be addressed to a certain extent if we could invest in research and development, for example, developing cultivars which are resistant to biotic and abiotic stresses, and also through appropriate socioeconomic policies. Another major issue is the post-harvest losses. A large volume of food does not reach the consumer and is instead discarded, degraded, or consumed by pests along the supply chain. And it is estimated that in developing countries, the post-harvest losses are approximately 50% due to the storage and transport conditions. This chart displays the post-harvest losses in developing countries, I mean, particularly in India. And we can see that the transportation losses and the handling losses are enormous. It ranges from 20 to 45%. And these losses could be addressed by proper education of the workers who handle the food at different stages of the supply chain, and through proper education about cold storage and pre-cooling, and also through packaging, proper loading and unloading practices, and insulation to prevent any damage that might occur during transportation. Further deterioration of the harvested produce could be decreased using proper post-harvest techniques like modified atmospheric storage or controlled atmospheric storage. In this technique, we limit the available oxygen in the storage atmosphere. And it has been reported that the produce which is stored at a temperature of 20 to 25 degrees Celsius in limited oxygen concentrations shows a result in the respiration rate of approximately 50%. And the same produce, when it is stored in refrigerated conditions, it shows an additional decrease in the respiration rate of approximately 25%. So in the latter case, it would be possible for us to extend the shelf life by about 100%. But these techniques do have disadvantages in the sense that if we don't control the gas mixture and the concentration of the oxygen goes below 2%, there are chances that anaerobic respiration would occur. And if the concentration of carbon dioxide goes above 5% in some produce, it might lead to injuries such as discoloration, off flavors, or softening. The use of very high pressure has been advantageous in extending the shelf life of vegetables and produce by decreasing the microbial activity and the enzymatic activity. This emerging technology utilizes a pressure of 0.1 to 1 megapascal and is called hyperbaric pressure treatment. This diagram shows a schematic of hyperbaric pressure respirometer, which was developed to measure the respiration rate of the vegetables and produce that is subject to this treatment. My supervisor, Dr. Vijay Raghavan, has worked on a project entitled Consolidation of Food Security in South India, along with the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University. This project was successful in establishing efficient post-harvest technologies in the small farming communities through the research stations of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University. One such technology was the usage of perforated plastic pipes that is layered through the potato piles in a crisscross fashion in order to ensure the ventilation in the center and the bottom of the potato piles. This was able to prevent the rot that might arise because of the respiration of potatoes. And with the help of these new structures and ventilation pipes, we were able to see an increase in the shelf life from 40 days to 120 days. And this tripled the income for the farmers. So now we know that solving the problem of post-harvest losses should be a priority. However, we should not be locked onto a single approach if we want to solve the problem of food insecurity in a sustainable way. There are many pathways that one could follow in order to increase agricultural productivity and ensure food security. I'd like to first talk about reduction in agricultural expansion. Agricultural expansion has more merit than demerits, and it has been reported that the tropical regions that have been cleared for agricultural purposes have much lower yield than their temperate counterparts. So we could say that reduction in agricultural expansion would not tremendously reduce the global food production. And the next point is increasing the efficiency of agricultural resources. It is important to have sustainable routes to increase agricultural production while simultaneously decreasing unsustainable usage of water resources and agricultural chemicals. Fertilizers and agricultural chemicals have played a vital role in agricultural intensification. However, they have led to widespread nutrient pollution and degradation of lakes and rivers and coastal oceans. There is also a problem in the sense that in some parts of the world, we have a problem of excess nutrient content, but in the other parts of the world, we have a problem of insufficient nutrients. So there's either too much or too little, and very few areas with, with just the right amount of fertilizer. Reduce this problem, we could reduce the use of chemical fertilizers, or we could restore wetlands, or we could capture and recycle the excess nutrients wherever possible. Finally, shifting diets and reducing wastage. We must rethink our bioenergy and agricultural choices, and we have seen that statistics tell us that if we dedicate all the major crops completely to feed human beings, we could add about 1 billion tons of produce to the global food production. So we should not use food crops for as feedstock for biofuel production whenever possible. And if possible, we should opt for pasture-fed beef as against grain-fed beef so that the grain could be made available to feed the population. So in conclusion, we are faced with the twin challenges of to increase agriculture productivity and also ensure food security. And the project such as the consolidation of food security in South India has been successful in improving the lives of farmers and small farming communities by giving them proper techniques and post-harvest technologies. So I personally believe that this would be a vital step in conserving our planet's natural resources. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Shekhala.